Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
I want to speak to you. God put a message in my heart the end of February, and it's been brewing. And every time somebody gets up to preach, and then even when I'm not here, I quickly check the live stream just to make sure my message hasn't been preached. And I think we're good so far. But I have a question for all of you this morning, and it's this. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? It's not the other question that every wife asks their husband as they're about to go out the door that turns them into a liar. Are you wearing that? No, I'm going to go change right now. Right? No, that's not the question here. This is, what are you wearing? What's your garment? What do you put on? I like to wear jackets, especially when I preach. You know why? Not to make me look good, because it covers, but it covers my stomach. All right? I am not pointing fingers at anybody. I just saw like 10 people turn on and look at somebody. Yes, join the club. No. But we put things on also to either show who we think we are or to cover up who we know we are or to project something we hope to be. I want to take a quick journey through Scripture to talk about some of the things that we wear and some of the things we ought to wear and some of the things we need to leave behind. Joseph. You know, Joseph was this great guy, great plan. He was loved. I mean, all the things you would think we would want for our lives, Joseph had at a young age. Great family, wasn't really struggling. He was the favorite child, right? What is it with kids? They always want to figure out who the favorite is, right? I have two daughters, and I always say, you know, they're like, who's your favorite? I say, I don't have a favorite. I have two eyes, and you're both each eye, you know? And then they figured out that one eye is not as good as the other, and they're like, so which one's your left eye, Dad? But Joseph, he grew up in a great environment, but being the favored son, Dad got a little excited and gave him a coat. A nice coat of many colors. I keep expecting Zach to walk out one of the days in that type of coat when he's preaching. Right? Yes, nice, bright, colorful. And he took that and he put it on. And all of a sudden, he was so happy. I'm Dad's favorite. Look at me, everybody. Look at the jacket I'm wearing. It means I'm Dad's favorite and you're not. A jacket becomes a garment of identity. Joseph's going around saying, aha, I'm the favorite. I got the jacket. You didn't. And then he gets a couple of dreams, and instead of keeping them to himself, he tells everybody about his dreams. And all of a sudden, he's wearing the jacket and talking about the dreams where he's going to be better than the others. You really think that's going to get a warm welcome? No one's going to say, oh, yes, we can't wait for the day we bow before you. But we wear this. It's our identity. It's who we are. We do it. It's our education. I'm so and so. I have so much education. It's our job position. I'm this. I'm a CEO. I'm a CFO. I'm a COO and all the other O's. Right? You do know what CEO actually means, right? It's a Christian term. It's for those who only come Christmas and Easter to church. But we do that. I'm so and so. We even do it in the church. Yes, I have a title, but that's not my name. I love to give young pastors a hard time because, you know, I get it. They're happy. They're happy when God's called them to ministry. And they're all excited. I'm Pastor so-and-so. And I'm like, is that what your mama named you? And now the new thing is, of course, you know, everyone, we get so excited. This is my title. That's my title. I'm Prophet so-and-so. And I go, is that with an IT or an ET? Say ouch. Actually, I forgot to wear my favorite t-shirt today. It says Equal Opportunity Offender. I think I gave you one too, right? Yeah. Yeah. If I haven't got to you, I will before I'm done. All right? I'm the evangelist. Yes, you are. Everyone is called to be an evangelist. Guilty as charged. I'm Apostle so-and-so. Really? I need to live it out before I wear the coat that tries to declare who I am. My calling, my gifting will make room for the ministry. My calling, who I am, will open the doors for me to be used by God in any given circumstance. Because sometimes that garment of identity takes over and becomes a garment of pride. And we got to take it and get rid of it before God can take us to the next place. That garment, which he was so proud of, was ripped off of him. The garment of I'm the favorite got replaced with the garment of slave. And that got taken away. You would think Joseph would have stopped wearing jackets by now, but now he gets one, a garment of a prisoner. But then the call came one day. The Pharaoh wants to see you. The king wants you in his presence. And scripture tells us Joseph washed himself. He shaved. Huh? I hope that means I don't have to shave before I go to heaven. Right? Put on the garments because he was about to go see Pharaoh. With the change of garment came change of position. And God elevated him to be the second most powerful man in the land. What's the garment you're wearing today? Second garment I want to talk about is the garment of position. Your status, where you are in life. Ruth was a widow. Back in the day, some of you here are old enough to remember where widows dressed a certain way. You knew they were widows based on how they dressed. Right? Thank you for those who said yes, and for all you others, you're just making me feel old, that's all. Ruth was a widow. But God was bringing her along a path because of her faithfulness and obedience to a place where her status was about to change. But for that to happen, she had to take off her widow's clothing. Naomi says, hey, you know, they're not dropping you extra bundles and being nice to you just because they're being nice to the foreigner. By the way, is biblical? Israel always left the four corners for the widow, the orphan, the child, and the foreigner. Whoever needed to hear that, there you go. But this was happening because guess what? You caught Boaz's eye, which tells me Ruth was a looker. She was fine. Boaz went, whoa, woe is me. Drop some extra for her. Naomi said, something's happening here. Ruth, anoint your hair with oil. Put on the right clothes. Get ready, because you're about to go from being a widow to a bride. Some of us like to keep the old garment on because it's safe, because we're used to it. I have this blanket. I still think I do. I need to ask my wife, because sometimes things disappear in my house. It's like ever certain clothing just disappear. Yeah. Right? But this is a blanket that I had. I had it from high school. It was this black blanket that I used to just wear. I went to boarding school on a mountain, 8,000 feet elevation, and the weather could change just like that. So we had this blanket, just put it, and when it got cold, you wrap it around you, and then when it was warm, you just put it around your neck. But also those who wore these blankets, let's just say that we were labeled a certain way, rebellious with a cause and without a cause. Yeah. The dean of students was always on the lookout for us. Some of you know that feeling, right, Will? I was going to say John, but he's not here. Right? But I always kept that. It reminded me of a fun time in my life. But I had to realize that's not who I am anymore. That's not my identity. We almost wear it like a badge of honor. A pastor friend of mine, one time we were in a group, and another pastor and I, we were talking about, you know, some of the old day experiences. You know, let's just say in my rebellious days, I wasn't the most well behaved. When I surrendered to the Lord, the devil cried. But my friend and I were chatting, and this other pastor got upset, and he goes, you guys make that sound like it was so wonderful. And I thought, yeah, you're right. We get saved, and God brings us out of hell. He brings us from death unto life, and yet we still want to keep talking about that hell and keep talking about that time of death. And God is saying, I brought you to resurrection. Talk about life. Stop saying all the things you used to be and stop carrying that around like a badge of honor. Carry it as a badge of honor who God has made you now. I can tell you something. When we had a time of prayer here, there's a bunch of young kids over here, and they're praying for one another. And man, it wrecked me. I'm watching them pray for one another, and then a young one guy comes over and he goes, can I use your Bible for a second? And he was looking for a verse and he didn't know where it was, and we're trying to find it together. And I started praying. These are the trophies. These are the trophies. It's like the more gruesome the testimony is, the more gruesome that colors of clothing that they're wearing, we think, wow, what a great testimony. No, the kids that are in our schools that are learning about Jesus from the time they're little and grow up in the Spirit and are praying for one another and raising one another up and are about to turn this world upside down, they're the trophies. Come on, somebody, help me preach today. We sang that old style music for a reason. Some of you have been singing what the enemy stole. Get up on your feet and go get it back in the name of Jesus. All right, I had notes here somewhere. Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew what he needed. He knew to shout. He knew Jesus was coming by. But then notice what he did. All of a sudden, the people came in and said, "Hey, Bartimaeus." Mark 10, verse 49. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying, "Be of good cheer, rise, he's calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. I may be a beggar when Jesus called me, but when I go into his presence, I go as someone called by the Son of God. I go as someone called by Lord God Almighty. I'm walking because I'm about to walk into my miracle. I'm about to walk in and receive my sight. My eyes are about to be opened. He threw aside his garment. I'm not the beggar anymore. I'm not the blind beggar that people had pity on and threw stuff at. I'm in the presence of Almighty, and I'm about to be healed. What is that garment that you identify with? What is that garment saying about you? You're not the addict anymore. You're not the alcoholic anymore. You're not the abusive spouse anymore. You are not the abusive parent anymore. You are not the alcoholic anymore. You are not condemned to die anymore. But by his stripes, you were healed. It's time to take off that garment and walk in the garment that Jesus has put on you. Garment of identity, the garment of position. And now we get to put on the garment of restoration. Prodigal son ran off. He ran off with everything. A head full of ideas. A heart full of pride, pocket full of money. And he ended up sleeping with the pigs. But scripture says he came to his senses one day. He said, "I'm going back to my father. And it doesn't matter. I'm going back, and it's okay if I'm a slave or a servant. I just need to get back." But the Bible says the Father saw him from afar off. Some of you are here today, and you're standing like that father, and you're looking for your child to come home. I got news for you. They're coming home. They're coming home. The father saw him afar off, and as he came, he started his speech. You ever notice everybody has speeches? Especially when they mess up, right? He says, "You know, I've sinned before God and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So, you know what? Let me just be a slave." And the father says, "No, you're not a slave. You're my son." He called, and he said, called out. Luke 15, 22, "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe.'" Everyone say best. "Best. Put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet." You're not a slave. You're a son. You're not a slave. You're a daughter. Jesus puts the garment of restoration on you. Welcome home. Welcome home. Next garment is the garment of honor. We like to talk a lot about honor. Forgive me, Pastor Zach, I'm going to use you as an example. Pastor Zach got up and he said wonderful things about me. He spoke words of honor. But you know what he did afterwards? We were praying and I went to move my foot. I couldn't because he was holding my foot. He was holding my feet and praying over me. Honor is not just about words, it's about action. We honor people for who they are, for how God's used them. We honor them. We honor certain things in our lives. We honor people. We honor experiences. We honor God. The honoring is wonderful when we're jumping and dancing and everything else, but the honor is seen when you walk out that door and how you live. John 20:7, then the disciple that whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." And when Simon heard it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. I'm going to get a little bit old school here, so here we go. Peter, after Jesus died and they saw he rose, but then they weren't seeing him in front of them all the time and they didn't know what to do, and Peter said, "I'm going back to fishing." By our words, we honor by action. We even honor by honoring traditions. Paul said, "Hey, follow the traditions which I taught you." I know nowadays tradition has a bad word. Not all traditions are bad. Nobody said it's a tradition to brush your teeth. Stop brushing your teeth. Nobody said it's a tradition to take a bath. Don't take a bath. Please take a bath. Some traditions were ordained of God and passed down through the generations. What I saw here in the young children that were praying for one another and doing what was right in the sight of God is because the parents passed that down. Saul thought he was helping David out. David said, "I'm going to go kill Goliath." And Saul said, "Okay, come on. Here, let me give you my armor." And every young preacher has preached this. And David said, "No, I can't wear what I haven't tested." Right? But they forget something. He put it on first. He put it on first. Saul stood head and shoulders over everybody else. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that it wouldn't fit David. Why did David put it on? To show honor. He honored the king. King might have been wrong, but he still honored the king. He honored his elder. I tell young pastors everywhere, you might walk in other footsteps, but make sure you walk in your own shoes. But don't forget, you're walking in their footsteps. Come to a place of honor. I need to honor God. I need to come to Him because now I know He's holy. Listen, when you were in the world and you didn't know who Jesus was and you did whatever you felt like, yes, that's wonderful. And God took you as you are and brought you to that place where you come to Him and now you're washed in His blood and changed and transformed. And here we go and it's wonderful. Yes. But do you still act that way? Or are you going to act in the way God has called you to be? in India in my office, I have a man who runs all the administrations, our vice president of administration. But he's been my friend for years and years and years. We joke with each other, we have fun with each other. But I always notice that when we're in front of other people, the way he talks to me and the way he follows my lead. And sometimes he'll say, yes, sir, yes, sir. And then we'll finish talking to somebody and that person will leave and he'll close the door. And as soon as he closed the door, I know the friend's about to come out. And I'll go, what? What'd I do now? And he'll go, are you crazy? Are you crazy? I'm like, well, I thought it was a good idea. And then we talk about it, and then he opens the door again, and it's, yes, sir. Why? He's showing me honor. We can disagree, but do it with honor. How are you coming before the Lord? Are you coming with still saying, I'm this old person? Or are you coming in the authority that he's given to you? I've made you this. I've called you to be this. I've called you to be here. Now, take off that old garment and put on the garment I have given you. Jamal, I'm going to come back up here. Now I'm going to give you the key. How to get rid of those old garments and to put on the garment God has for you. It's called the garment of praise. Get ready, it's about to get ugly in here. Isaiah 61:3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. How many are mourning today? How many of you got some ashes you got to give up instead of wearing them on your forehead? The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Some of you are here today and you're going through stuff. And it's easy to see your old garments. And it's hard to put on the garment of praise. When you're hurting and you're in pain, it's hard to put on the garment of praise. But you know what? The scripture also calls it a sacrifice of praise. It will cost you something. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will serve him. Some of you are walking through a valley right now and you're saying, God, are you even there? Have you forgotten me? But today he's saying, put on my garment of praise and stand up and start praising me and start honoring me with everything you have. Everything you have. Start crying out. Start offering that sacrifice, because that's what opens the heavens. That's what causes the rain to come down. That's what causes the shackles to be broken. That's what causes the captive to be set free. It's when we praise him. We praise him. The crowds were shouting out when Jesus came through, Hosanna. You know, Hosanna literally means save, save us. For every Hosanna you cry, there's a shout of save me going out. God, save me. Save my children. Save my husband. Save my wife. Save my family. Help me get out of this pit that I dug. Change me, Lord. So this is what we're about to do right now. Some of you need to get rid of the old garment. The garment of pride, the garment of identity and position and accomplishment and whatever else it might be, you need to get rid of that garment. you need to take away the old garments of widowhood and orphanhood and every other hood. And you need to lay it at the altar. And you need to come putting on a garment of praise, because you're about to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who says, you're no longer a slave, you're my son. You're no longer a captive, you're my daughter. You're no longer an addict, you're my child. You're no longer forgotten, I remember you. I've never forgotten you. You're etched in the palm of my hand. So God's saying, you need to get rid of the garment. I need you to stand up and run down to these altars, because we're about to go into a time of praise and worship. And God's about to break some things wide open. Some shackles are going to come off today. Some healings are going to take place today. Some bondages are going to be broken today. Some yokes are going to be destroyed in Jesus' name. But it's time. It's time. You're not who you were. You're who God says you are. So you're going to put on that garment of praise. And you think, I'm not worthy. I got nothing. You got everything he wants. You got everything he wants. Even if it's just groaning. You don't know what to say. Just groan. It's all right. Come on. Let's put down the old garments. And let's take on the new. Take on the robe of righteousness. Take on the robe of sonship. Take on the robe of restoration. Because behold, you are a new creation. The old has gone away. Some of you need to wave bye-bye to some things. Stop picking it up on the way out. Say bye. Let it burn on the altar. So what's pure, what's good can come out refined. Sometimes familiarity, we get too comfortable and we start to miss out on what God has. And sometimes we're like that with God. Yes, God's our friend, Jesus is our friend, but you know what? He's my Lord. He's my King. John the disciple knew him. He was his beloved disciple. He knew him. He walked with him. He ate with him. They were all there together. But then finally, when Revelation, where he sees him as the King of Kings, as the Alpha and Omega, he says, I fell as a dead man before him. It was a place of honor. Some of you need to come to this altar to show your honor for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.